were convinced of that because they felt, notice to elevate, not to level, but to elevate, they felt the Conservative Party understood their aspirations to improve themselves and would help them to do so. And that's been a very important part of the success of conservatism. These are the people, you might have heard this expression, when people, when conservatives, Mrs. Thatcher used to do it a lot, I know we were either not born or very young at the time. These are the people Mrs. Thatcher always referred to as the wets. You probably heard this expression, the wets. This was a term of contempt for Mrs. Thatcher, the wets. These are the people who believe one should help the working classes and so on and so forth. Now, that one nation Toryism was the dominant conservative attitude in this country until the 1970s. Macmillan was prime minister into the 1960s. There was Alec Douglas Hume. Labour Party comes into power 64, 1970. Then you have the phenomenon of Edward Heath, which was the great moment of change for the Conservatives in this country. Now, you might not know too much about Edward Heath. He was elected in 1970, and he lost the election in 1974. And he called an election in 1974 on the theme of who runs Britain, the trade unions or us. Well, the British people seemed to be fairly undecided about it, but if they weren't one way, they seemed to think it was the trade unions. And he lost. And this had a massive impact upon conservatives in this country. Both conservatives as politicians, but conservatives as thinkers. Because in a sense, again, this was a nightmare. So when the golden age was not, is for sure not the 1970s. Again, the 1970s is another low point for conservatives in their vision of British history. Something happened. Mrs. Thatcher kicks Ted Heath out. She comes in and has a whole new policy. What is it? What is this neoconservatism, Thatcherism? Well, it's a response to political and economic failure. Britain was simply going down the tubes. Britain in the 1970s was generally thought to be on the verge of economic collapse. It was not capable of being governed, and so on and so forth. It was a rejection of state intervention in favour of free market capitalism. In other words, the analysis was Britain since the Second World War had had massive state intervention, nationalisation and so on and so forth. This had been a complete failure. The only solution was for the state to withdraw from the economy and let private enterprise take over. What was the consequence of that? Well, the massive privatisation programme, which the consequences of which you see all around you. When I was your age, the gas was nationalised, the electricity was nationalised, the railroads were nationalised, iron and steel were nationalised, the mines were nationalised, and so on and so forth. All of these things, the state owned enterprises. British Petroleum, and so on and so forth. I think British Petroleum, one of the biggest companies in Britain, now in some difficulty, but never mind, British Petroleum used to be state owned until the 1980s. Even Thomas Cook's, a travel agent, used to be state-owned, for example. The state used to own an enormous number of things in this country. What did Mrs. Thatcher do? Oh, British Telecom as well. All of those things were state-owned. What did Mrs. Thatcher do? Sells them off. What's another thing Mrs. Thatcher does? Not only sell off those big industries, very importantly for Mrs. Thatcher, and think what I've just said about property, another one of the great measures of Mrs. Thatcher's time, selling off council houses. Giving people the right to buy. Remember what I've said? For conservatives, owning property is crucial. Mrs. Thatcher, when she gave people the opportunity to buy their houses, did it for a whole variety of reasons, one of which was political. All those Labour voters, once they own a house, will start voting conservatives. They'll cease to be socialists because now they have a stake in society and they'll want to keep it. Reform of the educational system. Well, we know that keeps on going on, don't we now? And people are demonstrating about that today, but the Conservatives have had a view on that. Reform of the trade unions. The trade unions are very, very powerful in this country. Whole series of measures designed to weaken the trade unions. And again, we still see this going on today, with the desire to reform the welfare system. The idea that people are milking the system, the idea that people don't work because they live off benefits, and all of that sort of stuff. Well, this is something that's been going on 30, 40 years. Some of us, when you get to my age, are rather tired of it. It'll know that gone for a lot, lot longer. Also, the restoration of the authority of the state, law and order. One of the first things Mrs. Thatcher did when she comes to power is give the armed forces and the police a massive pay increase. Get them on the side of the state. Make certain they will do the job the state wants them to do, which they did famously in the miners' strike, when Arthur Scargill fell into the trap that was set for him. Now, where they stand today, well, this is it. So we have Mrs. Thatcher. Mrs. Thatcher's around for a long, long time, as you know, and her supporters around for a long, long time. And then they got beat. They got beat in 1997, and this was a great moment of crisis for them. And they lost, and Ken Warren and I were trying to remember all the different Conservative leaders that had been after 1997, or so many of them, and they were all beaten by Tony Blair and so on and so forth. And then they got David Cameron. And what does David Cameron do? Well, he sort of thinks, well, you know, famously I've got to contaminate the brand. When people think about conservatism, they think nasty. What's a conservative? A conservative is someone who's nasty. And you know, we've got to get rid of that. So they start changing things, and that's why, of course, David Cameron is all into ecology and all that sort of thing. Why he's forever telling you about his kids and his wife and all of that sort of stuff. It's, you know, conservatives are nice, is one of the basic ideas that Cameron wanted to get over. But where do they stand? Where do they stand? Which is an intriguing question. Are they closer to Mrs. Thatcher or traditional one nation Toryism? I don't know, actually, to be honest with you. I think they're probably a curious mixture of both. But again, if you read the Daily Telegraph and you read the main editorialist of the Daily Telegraph, like Simon Heffer, who is a very important conservative writer, he loathes David Cameron. The traditional hardcore Thatcherites loathe David Cameron. They don't think he stands for anything. Read Simon Heffer today, he'll tell you that David Cameron doesn't have a single principle in his head. He simply has no principles whatsoever. What do the Tories say they believe in? Well, I'm sure you've heard about this, the big society. But again, I read the newspaper today, you know this. A conservative minister apparently said, people don't know what the big society is, they think it's Ann Widdecombe. And most people don't know what the big society is. But believe me, if you go onto the web, you go on the website and go into the Tory website, type in big society, you'll get loads of stuff on it. What Cameron thinks it is, is actually real conservatism, because he sees it as a way essentially of making the state smaller. So a reduction in the size of the state. That means the state will do less. It means the state will cost less. He thinks it's therefore about, if the state's not going to do over much, he thinks it's about handing power to communities. It's about handing power to charities, to individuals, to families, and so on, who he thinks are best placed to know what their interests are, and who are best placed to do things efficiently, get results, and so on and so forth, because the state on the whole, government, doesn't do this. That, I think, is so. That what does a big society mean? It means effectively state, government, bad, and society, individuals, communities, charities, good. That's what it should mean. That's what he thinks you might well get out of it. So it's about then. Sometimes we're stretching what's called civil society. Having a flourishing, that's why this notion that conservatives don't believe in society is simply not true. They do believe in society. They want a flourishing society. Next question, of course, which I can't even begin to answer, is will it work? How will it work? Well, we'll have to wait and see about that. If it doesn't work, then in 3 or 4 years' time, people like us will vote them out. If it does work, or we think it works, or it might still work in the future, we might give them a second chance, but we'll have to wait and see. It's not at all clear, as I say, what it means. If I'm honest with you, the thing that most worries me is I think that, well, let me give you an example. I'm on the governance of this, of B6. I'm very, very pleased to be on the governance of B6. But I actually have a full-time job. I do this in addition to my full-time job. Now, this is what David Cameron is imagining, that someone like myself will have a full-time job. I'll be a governor of B6, which is very important. I'll also help run my local post office. I'll also help do this. I'll help do this, and so on and so forth. Where am I going to get the time for it? Never mind the skills to do it. It's okay for me being governor of B6. I know something about education. There's a lot of things which I might need to get involved in. I'm running my local post office, for example. Wouldn't have a clue. I'm rather pleased I've got a postmaster there to help me do it. So we'll have to see. So that's something in general then about conservatism. gone for too long.
Yes.
Just about new conservatism.
Yes.
And in light of like the tradition of Queen's English and like all the process, I know some people who think that it's part of some secret Thatcher, trying to basically come back and make everybody more responsible for
yes.
what they do.
Yes, yes.
And so, I mean, they think that the Conservatives are dressing this up as we need to cut back the deficit and whatever, or we need to. Is there, my thought that is that if the fees go up, they won't, and we get the economy becomes better later, they won't take it back, but it's just going to stay that way. So, would you say it was like part of this new Conservative?
Very good point. And I think you're right, actually. I think you're right. I agree with what you say. What they're tending to say is, when they say, well, we're going to cut this, and not just universities, but in general, what they tend to say is, oh, we haven't got a choice because we've got no money. That's what they tend to say, isn't it? So it's a necessity. And what you're suggesting is, it might be a necessity, but also this is something they want to do. And I think you're right. And in fact, some people are criticising them. Some conservatives, in other words, are criticising them for saying, you've not got the courage of your convictions. What you should be saying is, yes, we have to do it, but we also want to do it. And we want to do it because we want to reduce the state. So I think you're entirely right. They're saying, well, we've got to do it at the moment because we haven't got the money. But even if they had got the money, I still think they'd want to do it. Because it's in line with what they want to do in general, which is to have a small state. So I think, no, I agree with you.
Is there any way back?
What do you mean?
As in, to reducing the fees and stuff?
Of course there is. Of course there is, yeah. Is there a way back? Yes, there is. You have you elect a government which says they'll reverse it. If you want my honest opinion, though, I don't think anyone will. In other words, if you mean the Labour Party now, for example, when Labour introduced these, they would have done this. Labour would have done had Labour won the election, Labour would have done something similar to this, and that's why they're in a very difficult position. All they can really argue about is how high the fee should be. Now, I'll tell you why they had to do it. They're in a sense, the problem is this. When I went to university, which is in the early 1970s, the percentage who went to university in this country was about 3 or 4%. It's now 40, 50%. I got a grant. I didn't pay any fees. But there were a very small number of us. If you want to have 40, 50% of the population go to university, it costs a colossal amount of money if you then say, we're going to pay their fees, we're going to give them a grant, and so on and so forth. And that's the problem we've got themselves in. And the other problem, to be honest with you, is that the universities are fed up with it. They're fed up with living from hand to mouth because they see American universities which are just getting better and better and better every year. And what they charge, you've got to go to Harvard and you've got the money, they'll charge you $35,000, $40,000 a year. What you get if you go to Harvard, you get a world-class education. But it costs. It's like world-class medicine. It costs. Cheap medicine, you can get it, but you'll die young. If you want a world-class education, you've got to pay for it. And that's what the universities say. And so the universities have actually been pushing all of the parties to do something about it. Everything can be changed. It's a matter of political will, isn't it? But I wouldn't hold out too much hope for it myself, to be honest. Your suspicion, I think, is exactly right. That they're saying we've got to do it because we haven't got the money, but they also want to do it. And as I said, they're being criticised from the present-day Conservatives are being criticised by Conservatives for saying, not having the courage to say that, to say, this is what we want to do. Even if we had the money, we would do it.
Why do they want a small state?
That's a fundamental question.
I don't understand it. Why?
Why? what's wrong with states? What's the Conservative think is wrong with the state? Well, what would this lot think is wrong with the state? States are very expensive. On the whole, they don't do things very well. They tend to take away your freedom. For example, if you're Conservative, you're inclined to think, every month, before my salary gets to my pocket, I lose about 40% of it. The state takes it. And if I was Conservative, I could say, well, I'd much rather prefer myself to decide how I want to spend that money rather than the state spend it for me. So it reduces my freedom. It leads, let's say, to less efficiency and all these sort of things. That's why. States are dangerous things. The state is very powerful. The more power you give it, the more power it will want, the more freedom will be eroded, and so on. So that's it. It's an argument about freedom. States reduce freedom because the states reduce freedom. It's an argument about efficiency. States are inefficient. Now, if you take another view, which of course it says, well, no, states were neighbours. State pays for this. You get education through the state. It enables you to realise all the things you want to do. Go off and be a doctor, be a lawyer, be whatever you want to be. It's not taking away your freedom, but Conservatives would tend to say it does. So that's the argument against states. And states, it's an argument about what's the proper function of the state. There are three things, certainly two things the state should do. One is secure national defence. And the other one is secure law and order. They're the two fundamental things the state should do, government should do. If it can't do that, it's not worth having. Once you get beyond there, you can start having an argument about it. Is it right that the state should do it or individuals should do it? And how do you make that decision? And the argument of someone like Mrs. Thatcher was, what had happened in Britain was we'd simply got used to the idea that if we wanted something, the state could provide it. And that was a bad thing. I heard something recently, you don't hear this very often. I heard, in Liverpool football club a few weeks ago, they were in terrible trouble. And I heard someone on the radio, but someone had been interviewed on the radio, and someone said to this Liverpool fan, so what do you think should happen? And the Liverpool fan said, oh, the government should. Why should the government intervene to save Liverpool Football Club from its own stupidity? Right? Now, if I want to be really harsh, I could say, well, why should the government intervene to save you from your own stupidity? Why should it save you if you made a terrible mistake in your life? Why should it? Surely you should learn from that mistake, and so on and so forth. You see the sort of argument.
Mistake.
Sorry? It could be any mistake. It could be any mistake. What mistake? As a young people, you can get yourself in a terrible scrape. Why should the state help you in that circumstance? It's a good one mistake. I don't want to specify what mistake it might be, but you can think of the sort of mistakes I sort of had in mind.
I don't want to jump the gun here, but it seems very capitalist because although I like the idea of people being able to rely on themselves and having more power as individuals, but there's some situations where it's not going to work for everyone. For example, people who have come here as immigrants, they're not immediately going to be able to, and they're not going to have the skill set or the sort of qualifications to be able to get those jobs that earn the most money. So in a way, and in terms of tuition fees, most people in this country are not going to be able to afford 30,000 tuition fees. So though Harvard has a good point, they only attract people or bourgeoisie with that sort of cash to splash on their education. Normal people are not going to be able to ever achieve that. So in that case, how does that benefit everyone? It doesn't benefit everyone, it benefits the bourgeoisie.
Yeah.
So where do they stand in
Well, let's give you other cases. Other cases would be someone who's disabled, for example, and then those sorts of things. What would happen there?
Yeah.
You think of lots of cases of people. You're quite right. That is the argument. That's the argument. You have made a terrible mistake in your life, and the state should help you because it was just a mistake, and everyone makes a mistake. So, So, you know,
what if you're sort of born into that mistake?
Yeah.
Like, let's say your parents,
our generation,
yeah,
are born into
like,
it.
Let's say my parents haven't got a university
yeah.
education.
Yeah.
I'm working class. I live off of benefits. It's nothing really to do with me. I've just been born into it. But I choose to want to, like,
yeah.
get a higher education. Then what do I do then? I can't afford it, but that's
yes.
what I want. That's what I want to aspire to.
What would conservatives say to that?
Yeah.
I knew coming here lecturing on conservatism was going to be difficult. No, I agree. I think your phrase, "What happens if you know you're born into a mistake?" is a very good way of putting it. That's the problem. Well, in fairness, I'm just trying to, you know, in a sense, what they're saying now is, I think that's one of the reasons why, for example, Ian Duncan Smith. Wants to have these reforms on welfare because of that notion of what is sometimes referred to as a cycle of deprivation. You know, a child is born into a family with no job, no skills, and so on and so forth. And what happens to the child? The child has no job, no skills, and so on and so forth. Somehow or other, you've got to break. That's being born into the mistake. Or somehow or other, you've got to get the child, you know, out of that. Because you say it's no fault of the child that they're brought in that circumstance. I think what the Conservative would say is the mistake. If I know the Conservatives would say this, the mistake that they would say is to think that you can solve it by throwing money at the problem. And you know, I mean, I think that's. I mean, I think to be honest with you, I think Gordon Brown thought if you spent enough money on a problem, you'd solve it. And I think the Conservative's view would be, well, it's not just a question of money. Something else has to be done. I agree. I mean, it's just one, but I think that they would say that.
In terms of something else, what is this
yeah.
something else? Like, what are they? What is their suggestion? What is their alternative? Because although they're saying there's something else, if you give people that alternative and it sounds good, I'm sure people will take it. But it's like they've left people with nothing. It's like they've taken it away and just said, okay, that's how it's going to be.
Well, the something else is a job, for example.
But what if you don't have the skills to get that job in the first place? Then you're left with a low-paid job. Then what? You're never really going to get out of the poverty you need to end.
They might want to say, okay, we'll help you get the skills. But they'd also say, a low-paid job is better than no job.
I suppose it's the politics of imperfection thing again,
yeah,
isn't it? That,
yes.
that they don't expect life to be perfectible, like socialists maybe do.
Well, this gentleman's been waiting to say something. Come.
Isn't it better to educate them than you educate people by using educate
yes.
everyone?
Yes.
Pour money into the education system, everyone gets an education. We all become middle class.
Well,
I'm happy about it.
Notice one of the things that is interesting. If you talk about what they're doing now, and I mentioned this when I was talking, that they do, again, part of their analysis is there's something that's gone terribly wrong in the educational system as well.
What's wrong?
Well, what they think is wrong is in the sense that people are not being taught traditional disciplines, traditional skills, and so on. That's what they think is wrong. Sorry?
What's the traditional skills?
What would they consider traditional skills? Things like learning proper English grammar and things like that, and learning Latin and a foreign language and all of these sorts of things.
No one speaks Latin.
I know they don't.
Don't these things in itself cost money? And if you don't have the money, where would you get them?
It's another very good question. I think the answer would be, of course, is going back to what we said about the state. Should remember their view is. See, one of the things that they're pushing at the moment is academies and free schools and so on. Again, fine education is important, but it doesn't have to be provided by the state. So that would be part of their answer. Therefore, the state doesn't have to spend the money. It's not necessarily the state spending the money. It's not necessarily the state doing the educating.
Who would spend the money? Who would be the one to step up and say, okay, I'm going to pay for the British public to have a good education? Like, would that be like some sort of...
It might be charities. I mean, educational charities.
But they want everyone to have an education, or only some.
Only some. Elitism.
I think they want everyone to have an education, but they have a different view about how it's going to be provided, and it's not necessarily going to be provided by the state. That's the point.
Don't I just want work for what they want? Don't they argue that the state gives them everything, but they don't actually work for themselves to get what they want?
They think you should work to get what you want, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but like, instead of EMA and all that, like, they think that they should go out and work.
Yeah.
Instead of the state, like, giving them.
That's right. But so does the Labour Party as well. So does the present day Labour Party seems the same. The idea is that people shouldn't be dependent on the state for welfare and so on and so forth. There's some more questions at the back. There's quite a lot, in fact, a whole row of questions about more. Well, you decide amongst yourselves who's going to go first.
Maria and Vivian had their hand up for quite a long time.
Okay.
I suppose they've been quite unconservative, aren't they? They're changing quite
yes.
a lot quite
yes.
quickly.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that
yeah.
again, that's an issue. On the first part, in a sense, only time will tell, won't it?